So we find a story here in the book of Exodus where that Moses had been chosen by God as he met the Lord on the mountain. And when I was thinking about the Lord meeting Moses, I was reminded one time, you never knew it probably, but I used to dye my hair for about 20 years. Mary knew it. And I was always nice black hair like Brother Glenn's got there, you know. And so nobody ever knew it. I didn't tell anybody. I guess some people may have known it, but they didn't know it at work because I had started dyeing my hair before I ever went there. And I was thinking about Moses, how he met the Lord. And I walked in one Monday morning. I'd washed it all out because I'd gotten my blood all poisoned from it. And the dermatologist told me I had to quit dyeing my hair and I need to wash it all out because it got in my bloodstream after 20 years. And I was getting growths all over my body and they was having to cut them off and blah, blah, blah. So I did as she said. And I went into work on a Monday morning and I walked in and everybody liked to faint it. What happened to you? What happened to you? I said, I met the Lord on the mountain last night. And I turned white overnight. So Moses was commissioned by God to go and get Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go so they could be led into the promised land. They had been praying. They were under bondage. The children of Israel, as you know the story, they were under bondage and they were begging and pleading with God to get them out of the trouble that they were in. And so God was making arrangements for that by calling Moses to go unto Pharaoh and request that he would let them go. You know, I was thinking about that as the children of Israel begging God to get them out of this bondage. Why is it, people, that we have to wait till we get into trouble before we call upon God? The children of Israel had got had quit calling upon God, and I'll tell you what happens when you turn your back on God. God's going to cause some things or some people to come into your life that things will happen, and you'll wish you never turned your back upon God. Did you know that the way that people go and the way our country is going, God selects or causes presidents to be elected that will lead us in wrong directions because we're being punished by the way we're living. And God did that all the way throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament. He brought different kings. He'd bring a wicked king to get the children of Israel back to God. So when they got under bondage, and then they get on their knees and they start praying to God and begging God. Then God brings in another king that's a good, devoted man of God. Now that happens. That happens in our own country. What do you think we're having so many problems for right now? Why do you think people are losing their homes? Why do you think people are losing their jobs? Why do you think the economy is so bad? It's because of the way you and I are living. And we need to straighten up or God's going to send us somebody that's going to put us under some bondage that you've never seen before. And it's going to happen, people. Put it down in your little black book. And I keep thinking about Moses here as he goes unto Pharaoh to get the people out of bondage. And he goes through different things and he says different plagues. He says, God's going to bring this plague, certain plague upon you if you don't let the children of Israel go. And so he said, well, I'm not going to do it. So Moses, God through Moses would bring those plagues upon Pharaoh. And then finally he'd say, okay, I'll let them go. Take that plague away. They take it away. They start the same old junk again. I'm not going to let them go. Another plague. I'm not going to let them go. Another plague. I'm not going to go. Then he comes to the point where he says, listen, I'm going to bring some frogs upon you. He said, well, frogs, what's that? That ain't nothing. Bring them on, boys, bring them on. Well, he sent the frogs, the plague of the frogs upon them there, as the scripture says here in this 9th and 10th verse of Exodus, the 8th chapter, as you can read it. He brings the frogs. Can you imagine the king's wife going in to cook a little snack for the old king? She opens the oven, frogs jump out. Turn on the faucet to get a glass of water, and frogs come out. The old king goes to get into bed, and he sticks his feet underneath the cover, and what is that? A big slimy frog is slapping against his leg. Goes to put his crown on, picks up his crown, goes to put it on so he can dress. A big frog is sitting inside of it. Everywhere there's frogs, frogs, frogs. He took about all he could take, and he goes back to Moses and he said, look, Moses said, I can get rid of these frogs for you if you let the children go. In fact, I can get rid of them right this minute. And what does Pharaoh say? Tomorrow. 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 Tomorrow, I'll let the children go and you get rid of the frogs. Tomorrow. One more night with the frogs. Just had to have it. One more night. That's the same way it is with you and I with sin. We got to have just a little bit more sin. We don't want to get saved. We want to keep on sinning. Just give me one more night with my sin. Oh, yes, I'm going to quit smoking one day, but just give me one more. Tomorrow, give me one more night with a cigarette. Give me one more night with a shot of liquor. Give me one more night at the casino. Roll some more bones, try to make some more money, and lose some more. One more night. Just give me one more. Tomorrow. Oh, yes, Brother Vila, I'm going to get saved. Tomorrow. I'm going to get baptized. Tomorrow. I'm going to join the church. Tomorrow. I'm going to read my Bible starting tomorrow. One more night with the frogs for you. That's what it is. And that's what happened to Pharaoh. One more night with the frogs. Lost sinner says, oh, I love to get saved, but I just got to have one more night. One more. Tomorrow I'll get saved. The Bible says don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. He says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. God does not promise you and I one thing tomorrow. You know, it's an old guy I met in a restaurant. Brother Lee knows who he is. His name is Fred. And he was telling me, we was talking about, I was telling about not to be worrying about yesterday and tomorrow. I was talking to him like that. He had lost his wife and everything. And so I was trying to cheer him up. He said, you know, there's an old saying about that. And I said, what's that, brother? You know, I like to learn things. I don't know if you do or not, but I like to learn things. And I like to listen when people have an idea about something. I like to hear what they got to say about it and everything. And so he says, there's an old saying, if I can get it right now in my mind. Yesterday, and now I want you to remember this if you can. Write it down. Don't try to remember it like I do and then you forget it tomorrow. And then you don't know what it was. You can't, you know. But it made a lot of sense to me about yesterday and tomorrow and today. And he said this. He said, preacher, he said, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift, and that's why they call it present. Isn't that good? Say amen. I know you don't think so, or you just said it already, but that's okay. I got you to say it anyway. Yesterday is history. It's gone. Tomorrow is a mystery. We don't know what's going to bring. It may bring the death angel for you. It may put you in a hospital. You may die. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. And remember, today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. It's a gift. If you wake up in the morning, that day is a gift. I like that. Jesus had a problem with some fellows over in the book of Luke, 9th chapter, 57 through there. He had some problems with three men over there, wanting to wait till tomorrow. The Lord told the one fellow, he says, I want you to come and follow me. And he said, oh, I would like to. But, he said, but I bought some land and I got to go inspect it at nighttime. An excuse. Another says, I bought some cows, steers, and I got to go try them at nighttime. And I like the other guy. He says, I married a wife. I can't come. I married a wife, Mary. I married a wife. I can't come. She tells him what to do. We got a lot of men in this day and age that's got a wet noodle for a spine, and the wife tells him everything to do. I feel sorry for some of you. But some of you are so weak that you got to have a good, strong wife, or you'd just be laying around all the time doing nothing, I'm telling you. He had a problem with tomorrow. Jesus says, today. Today is the day of salvation. Listen, have you put it off long enough? Have you put it off long enough? Salvation. Have you put it off? Are you still waiting for tomorrow to come? People, tomorrow may never come for you. It may never come. Because what happens tomorrow gets here, you'll say, tomorrow again. Then if tomorrow come, then you'll say, tomorrow again. As I was thinking about all these frogs, I thought about, I was going up my, this past summer, I was going up my back steps on my little back porch I got. I was coming from the garage and I stepped up on the little back porch and there's a light there by the door. And this wasp was flying around me, you know. And what's that dizzy thing trying to get me, you know? And I looked up and he goes inside the light. A wasp. I said, I hope you get electrocuted in there. Oh, forgive me for killing. And I hope you get electrocuted in there. Well, I didn't think nothing else about it. I went on in the house. The next morning, the next day, I was going to go out to the garage again. So I stepped out the back door on the porch, and I thought, when I stepped out there, I thought about that wasp. And I thought, man, I wonder about that wasp. And I looked up that light. You couldn't see the light fixture. It was covered all with wasp. You know, that's the way sin is, I thought. You do one little sin, you think, well, tomorrow I'll get rid of it. And the next day, you sin a little bit more. I'll get rid of it. After a while, the sins keep on snowballing and snowballing to the point that your heart gets hard. And then you never will get saved. Because I don't care how hard the preacher preaches, how much scripture he gives you, how many hard days that you have in life, and all the problems that you have that are created by Satan, you'll keep on putting it off once your heart is hard. And it'll eventually come to where you're gonna die and you'll go to hell. And you'll say, oh, I wished that I'd have got rid of those frogs that first day instead of waiting until tomorrow. Oh, your husband or your wife is laying in the casket and you think, oh, I wish that we had joined the church. We don't even have a church. Oh, we go to a church but once in a while, but we're not members. I wish that the preacher could get up and say that my husband or my wife or my child was a member of their church so that all the people can know that we're church people. No, you got to have one more night with the frogs. You got to say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. And people, after a while, tomorrow will never come. Same way of being baptized. Some people will get saved and they'll go for months and years and not get baptized. The Bible tells us that that they were baptized and added to the church daily. Not tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. Listen, if you're born again, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you shouldn't have any reason why you're not baptized. If you're not, it's because you're saying, I'm embarrassed to let people know I'm a Christian now. The Bible says we're to do it so people will know that when we're baptized, that we're buried in the likeness of our Lord, raised in newness of life, and we're a new creature in God. The old man is now dead, and we're raised as a new creature in God. It tells everybody that you're ashamed if you're saved and you've never been baptized. So today, let's get rid of the frogs in our lives. You say, well, when I get out of school, I'm going to get saved. When I get out of school, I'm going to join the church. When I get a job, I'll start joining the church and getting baptized and everything, get saved. Well, I think I'll just wait till I get married. When I get married and get a wife, well, we'll start going to church like we're supposed to. We have people that only come to church whenever they feel like it. We're not supposed to come to church just because we feel like it. It's our duty, people, as children of God. When the doors are open, you're supposed to be here. But no, you got to have one more night with the frogs. That's the problem. Well, I'm too tired. You just got another wool frog on you, that's all. Who isn't tired? If I were to take a survey this morning, every one of us is tired. Brother Lee was in the men's room all going, oh. I said, what's the matter? You up all night? Vicky keeping you up again? No, I'm just tired. I'm just tired today. Who isn't tired? Everyone else in here are tired. But that's not an excuse. What if the Lord says, well, I'm not going to the cross today and die for you because I'm just too tired. I got to rest up. It's the only day I got off of work. Well, whoop-de-doo. Well, I had to work this morning. I couldn't come to church. Well, what about tonight? You work all day and all night? The problem is that we're not solidified in Christ. And all we want is one more night with the frogs. We want to do our own thing. We want to do our own thing. And whatever we want to do, we're going to do it. And you will always find time to do what you want to do. Boy, you sound rough this morning, Brother Veal. That's why I don't listen to the tapes. Think I want to get scared? I don't want no frogs in my life. I don't want no more tomorrows. That's why when the doors are open, Mary and I don't discuss, are we going to church today? We get up, we get dressed. I told Mary this morning, I said, hey, it's 10 to 9, it's time to hit the highway. Well. I said, forget the well. I'll be in the car waiting for you. Well, I'm coming. Get a little bit of character about yourself. Get out of that lazy bed. Get dressed. Get off to church and Sunday school. Quit making excuses. I don't know what Pharaoh's excuse was, but he wanted one more night with the frogs. Well, God will give it to you. That's what you want. God has made us a free moral agent. You can do exactly what you want to do in life. But when you have problems and troubles, oh, would you pray for me? What about praying for yourself? How about doing right? That's why they put my name in the bulletin. So I don't know why they done that. I pray for myself. I pray for you every day. What if there's nobody else on this earth to pray for you? You're the one that needs to learn how to pray. You're the one that needs to have the faith. You're the one that needs to depend upon God when you got a problem. But when you get a problem, put some feet on those problems. Put some faith in them. Mm. I'm going to have to quit here. Jesus says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, I want to get baptized. Today is the day you say, I'm joining this church. I'm not waiting any longer. But maybe you just want one more night with the frogs. And that one more day never comes. Because there's always another day and another day and another day. What are you going to do? Wait till you get in the casket and you're on your way out? It's too late. They say the cake is dough. I know you don't like me to holler at you like this, but listen, I'm getting closer and closer to heaven. And I want to make sure that you get there too. I want to make sure that you quit making excuses to be with the frogs more. Get a little bit of character, people. Learn to be on time when you got an appointment. Learn to be on time when you come to church. Quit procrastinating. If you got something to do, don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Tomorrow may never come. And for some of us, it won't. I hope the last sermon that I preach, whenever that might be, I hope it's me warning you what to do to make sure you're right with God. Because death is no respect of person, people. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with how good looking you are, how much money you got in your wallet. It has nothing to do with those things. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess, people. Yeah, you'll confess one day. You may not do it now, but one day you will, but it'll be too late. God will say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. And cast you into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That's what will happen. Oh, I wish they hadn't have said, I'll wait till tomorrow. All you need to do is to realize you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Realize what the penalty of sin is. It's death, separation, friends and loved ones and God. Cast into the lake of fire. And realize that Jesus Christ loved you so much. God commendeth his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid that sin debt. You don't work your way to heaven. You don't buy your way to heaven. You don't go to church to get to heaven. What you do, you invite Jesus Christ into your life. And you get saved. Then you get baptized. Then you join the church. And you start reading your Bible. And you start witnessing. You start going on track attack. Quit being so lazy and getting involved so much with the world. Oh, I hope he dies before he has to preach again. I know what you I hope I do too, so I can get on to heaven. But today's the day, people. Don't put it off. Let us stand. I don't know. I think Brother John will have that tape about next week out there. They probably won't pick it up because they're already scared to death, Brother John. They don't want to be frightened again. But if you want to get a friend of yours saved, you get one of them tapes like that and you let them listen to that. Don't get one of those that talks about the flowers and the birds and the bees. That won't get nobody saved. That won't get nobody saved. You got to tell them they're going to hell if they don't get it saved. Tell them it's a beautiful place, heaven is. And everybody ought to want to go to heaven. Amen. If you don't, then you need to see a doctor because there's something wrong with you. Right. Maybe the guy in the white coat. Sing for me, will you, before I get to preaching, will you? Why don't you do it today? Either join the church by letter or testimony. I'll tell you what to do. If you need to get baptized, come and tell me. I will make arrangements. If you're not saved, come and get saved. I'll pray with you and I'll tell you what to do. But do it. God bless you. Come on, folks. This is what I like to see. This is why I holler. Praise the Lord. fine Christian people right here. They're coming to join our church this morning. I don't even have to ask them. I can see it in them. Is that right? Amen. I didn't know they were going to come this morning. But you're tired fooling around with the frogs, aren't you? Today's the day. Amen. Amen. Where was you saved, hon?
Freewill Baptist Chapel, October 17,
1971. 1971, you were saved. You've been baptized all the way under. And Brother Baron, where was you saved at?
Freewill Baptist, 1989.
1989. You was baptized all the way under. Yeah. Amen. Well, you've heard her testimony. They're coming this morning on their testimony to join our church. Is there a motion we have on their testimony that we accept them? Amen. Thank you, Sister Christian. Is there a second? Amen, Sister Lynette. All in favor, let it be known by the uplift of the hand. Amen. You just sit right there for a minute. Just sit up right there, both of you, and we'll have them to come around and shake hands with you right after the Lord's Supper. Is there somebody else? You need to come. You'd like to join the church today. You never join. It's just that simple. If you've been baptized, if you haven't been baptized, that's okay. We'll baptize you. And we'll vote you in. The thing is, you need a home. This is a home that the government or the banks can't take away from you. Banks can't take your home away, your church home away from you. You'll always have a church home then. Every Christian ought to have a church home. I don't care how little the church is or how humongous it is. But he or she needs to be in a church that teaches you. You got that 1611 there, will you? Let me see that 1611. This is the old translation. 1611. Right on there. That's when that Bible was translated. Now, he hasn't had this Bible that long. Almost, but not quite that long. But that's a 1611. I got one of them too, by the way. And you need to be in a church where they teach the old book. Amen. The old book was good enough to come over on the Mayflower. It's good enough for me. Amen. We don't need a substitute for God. We don't need a substitute for God's word. All we need is the old paths of God. That's all we need. Amen. Is there somebody else you need to come before we sing another stanza? Sing another stanza, brother. If you need to come, come on right now. Join the church. Get baptized. We'll take care of it. Right now.